If you will, at verse number 11. Verse 11. The Bible says there, He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth He forth to light. Notice, if you will, those words at the last of verse number 11. The thing that is hid bringeth He forth to light. The thing that is hid, bringeth He forth to light. I want to preach for a little while on the subject, God, the Great Revealer. Last Sunday, I preached on God, the Great Redistributor, and we might consider who would we rather redistribute the wealth of the world. We like those, the sinful men, limited in knowledge, limited power, unholiness, unrighteousness. Would we want them to redistribute the wealth of the world? Or had we rather leave that to the omniscient, omnipresent God, God Almighty, a holy God, a God that will always do right? I certainly believe it would be better to leave that up to God and just wait on God, for when it is God's will to have that great redistribution of wealth. Here's a good rule for human governance. Human law should not attempt to punish or enforce everything that divine law teaches, and should not seek to punish all of those things that human law condemns. Human law is limited. Humans are limited. When it comes to judges and legislators and police officers, those that are in law enforcement, they are limited. They can only do so much. And so we should not expect men to condemn everything that God condemns with punishment and have punishment for everything that God condemns. Another good guide for human governance is that human law should never, never contradict God's law. Any law of man that contradicts God's law is wrong. And so we might think about God's will, God's way for a nation, for a people, and how they are to be governed. Thank the Lord, He is the God, He is the King that is over all. Now, in Job chapter number 28, and beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says in those first two verses, "Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold, where they find it." Verse 2, "Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone." I believe this section of Scripture, verses 1 through 11, is a platform, as it might be said, for some of the teaching that is to come later on in the chapter. Sometimes you may find in reading behind commentators that they are helpful. I was speaking about this a while back. I do not believe that I'm going to find something that no one else has ever found in the Word of God. And if I have had some difficulty with a passage, I may read behind some other men. And it can be some assurance to read behind other men, good men, and find out that they have felt the same way about a particular passage. On the other hand, I find that oftentimes, though, there are commentators that are in agreement, or there are perhaps a number of commentators in agreement on a particular passage. Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon gave these words, "Commentators are like sheep. One follows the other, and they all fall in the ditch." And I think sometimes that one person presents an idea, somebody else copies the idea. Sometimes you might even see two commentaries, and the wording is the same. And so perhaps there's been a little plagiarism going on. Now, as far as this passage of Scripture, I've read where commentators spoke as though, wrote as though, that this passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 11, talks about miners and the work of miners. We might think about a miner going down into the earth, digging up that which has been hidden to men, washing it off, refining it. And so we might think about the work of a miner. And yet the wording of this section of Scripture, I believe, is so grand and so great, it cannot simply be referring to that work of a miner. I believe it is speaking about the work of none other but God Himself. In the first two verses, the Bible speaks about four metals. The Scripture speaks about gold and silver, iron and brass. In verse number 3, the Bible says, He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. Who is the He that is spoken of in verse number 3 and verse number 9 and 10 and verse number 11? I believe that He is none other than God Himself. The darkness has an end. Sometimes we may think about light penetrating, piercing the darkness. We might think about the darkness and then the light being introduced, but actually God is light. And darkness has an end. In this realm that we live in, sometimes there may be a darkness, and we may introduce a light, perhaps, or a light be introduced that breaks through the darkness. But the fact is, God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. All of us that are saved, as it might be said, are children of light. Light is eternal. Darkness is not eternal, but light is eternal because God Himself is eternal. God is light. And so we might think about darkness having an end. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. God knows about all about those things that are hidden, as it might be said, in the darkness, stones in the dark. We might think about the stones that are spoken of or the metals that are spoken of being found in stones, being hidden away out of the sight of men. But God knows all about them. God knows all about the shadow of death. God searches all things out. Now notice, if you will, verse number 4. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from the earth. God not only knows about those things that are hidden in the ground, the stones that are in the darkness, God also knows about the water, where it goes. God knows when a rainstorm takes place, where the water goes and the circuit that it follows. God knows all about that. I find it interesting that the Bible says the flood breaketh out from the inhabitant. In the book of Genesis, the Bible talks about the watering of the earth. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 6, speaks about the mist that went up from the ground and watered the whole face of the earth. The Bible talks about a river. There was a river that came out of Eden, and the river split into four heads. There were four rivers, as it might be said, that came from that one river. And so it seems that there was the water originating there in Eden. And of course, I believe that God calls that water to flow forth from the ground. God calls that water to flow forth into those four rivers. And God, of course, knew the circuit. God knew the way that that water would flow. God knew all about that system that He had set up. I found it interesting. Mr. Henry Morris, in the Genesis record, gave these words. Since there was no rainfall, the river would have to be supplied through a pressurized conduit from an underground reservoir of some kind emerging under pressure as a sort of artesian spring. The fluid pressure, however, could not have been simple hydrostatic pressure resulting from gravitational flow of groundwater from a source area at a higher elevation, because this also would depend on rainfall. And so how did God cause that water to come forth from the ground? He gives this idea, and I think there might be something to it. And then we look later on in the Scriptures about how when the flood, the ground, the deep broke up. And of course, that was part of how God caused the earth to flood. Mr. Morris said this, the one idea was it was the water pressurized within the in the ground in the rock, or else by being heated from a deep lying heat source. If there was a continuing heat source, however, as well as a continuing supply of water to the subterranean pool, then the artesian spring at the surface could be fed indefinitely. I might imagine that perhaps that would be how God, in part, how God would have watered the earth, causing the heat from under the ground to heat water, and then that water coming up, the pressure rising, and the water coming up and flowing continually. Of course, in our day, even after the flood, even after all the destruction, even after the deep has been broken up, you can go out west and you can see Old Faithful and the water blowing forth from the ground. I don't know how many of you read about it, but I think recently there were three fellas ended up being banned from Yellowstone because they were trying to cook a chicken in a hot spring. And so we might think about even today there being some evidence of that water flowing forth. Of course, in that case, it could be a violent situation. But I think God was able to send the water forth gently. Now, when the water came forth, and then the ground soaked up the water was forgotten, so to speak, of the foot. The Bible says they are dried up, they are gone away from men. But God knows where those waters went. God knows about condensation. God knows how to draw the water up. God can draw the water up from a dirty old mud puddle and rain it down in a pure white snow. God knows the path of the water, the way of the water. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 5. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. That's interesting. Underneath fire, above the bread crops, as it might be said. Underneath fire. I do believe that in the midst of the earth, there's hell. And I do believe, of course, even now you may see the evidences now and then of the molten rock coming forth from a volcano. And so think about underneath the earth, fire. And then on the surface of the earth, the crust of the earth, there being the bread crops coming forth. And then, notice if you will, in the next verse, the Bible says, the stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. Now, God, of course, knows where all the precious stones are. And God can direct one, could direct one to all the precious stones in the earth. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 7. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. There are paths which men do not know of, and we might think about these creatures not knowing of them, but God knows those pathways. God knows them all. And the book of Ecclesiastes gives us some idea of the cyclicalness of the wind and of the water. And God knows all about how all of that is directed. Then notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse number 9, he putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. Man may dig into the rocks and turn a rock over and search for something. But God has got the ability, if he will to turn, pull a mountain up by its roots, so to speak. If God wanted to uncover something, he'd pull a mountain up by its roots and expose that which was under it. Then notice, if you will, verse number 10. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. Man, of course, may try to direct water. He may use it in canals. He may use it in sluices. He may use it in ways in order to try to uncover precious metals, precious stones. But God can cause a river to cut through the rock. God can expose that which is therein. Although some of the things that are said here may seem similar to what a miner might do, still, God is able to do these things, these great things that a miner could never do. Then notice, if you will, verse number 11. Here's my text verse. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Jeremiah chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. It is something how that God has put bounds about the sea, invisible to you and I, but bounds about the sea. And God contains the sea. And of course, even though there's so much water upon the earth, the water does not completely overcome the earth. God has set boundaries for it. There are so many things that are mentioned here in this passage that man does not know, but God knows all about it. Then we come to this text. The thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. God is the great revealer. First of all, God can hide what he will from man. If God decides to hide something, whether it be himself or whether it be some truth, whether it be something the riches of this world, whatever it is, if God decides to hide something from man, God can hide it from man. No matter how much time and effort a man puts into uncovering something, if God is determined to hide it, man cannot uncover it. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Sometimes men, they may try and try to find out things when God has refused to tell them. Well, God can hide what he will from man. But then, man can hide nothing from God. Sometimes a person may think they're hiding something from God. Where would be the deepest, darkest place that you could hide anything? Someone may think about in the very depths of the ocean. Somebody might think about in some faraway place. Where's the deepest and darkest place you could hide something? What about your heart? Sometimes a person may feel as though I've hidden something within here. I'm not talking to anybody else about it. And God doesn't know it's there. Psalm 10. We might think about the unrighteous man, the wicked man, thinking that he has something hidden in his heart. God does not know it. But God does know it. A man can hide nothing from God. Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like to whited sepulchres, like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Man, of course, looks on the outward appearance. People may be so concerned about the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God certainly sees the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Man can hide nothing from God. At the judgment seat of Christ, all things shall come to light. God desires for us to have cleanliness in the inward parts. God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God can divide, as it might be said, the soul and the spirit. Sometimes you and I may have some confusion about what is just my emotion, what's just my thoughts. what is God speaking to me? God is able to divide. He can put the soul and the spirit, as it might be said, on this side. This is your mind. This is your emotions. This is God. God knows all that is within us. Now, the Lord wants us to have a cleanliness in the inward parts. When you read in the book of the Leviticus chapters 1 through 7, where the Bible talks about those five major offering categories, you may read over and over about this idea of the flaying of an offering or the cutting of an offering into pieces. Another thing that you may read over and over, you may read about the liver and the kidneys. They're both filters. We might think about God wanting the offering cut into pieces so that impurity in the inward parts could be seen if impurity was there. As far as you and I, God wants us to have a cleanliness in the inward parts. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51 and verse number 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Mark chapter number 4, verse 22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." God shall cause all things to be made manifest at the judgment seat of Christ. All things shall come to light. There are so many things within us that can affect our judgment, the judgment before Christ. When it comes to the believer is forgiven. Thank God for that. And yet, as far as reward are concerned, and thank the Lord I'm going to heaven, but as far as rewards are concerned, motives, I preached earlier on, motives matter. And God will look upon us and look within us, and He'll not only see what we have done, He'll see why we have done it. God knows all of that. God knows. And so, those things that are within us that are unknown to man will make a difference at the judgment seat of Christ. And God shall take all of those things into consideration for the life of the believer concerning rewards. There's so many things, so many things I cannot put in a balance and weigh, but God can. And God can tell right or wrong. I think there are going to be so many surprises. When I get to heaven, I think there, for one thing, there might be the surprise at who's there. There may be some people I didn't expect to get there that'll show up. And then there may be some people I expected not to get there, or I expected to get there that don't show up. And then when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, there may be some people that we would expect to be just loaded down with rewards. But instead, their works will go up in smoke and they'll receive very little. God will take all of those things in consideration. At the judgment seat of Christ, all things shall come to light. I remember a preacher years ago, his wife was telling about how he was preaching about punishment at the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be no punishment. There'll be no punishment for believers at the judgment seat of Christ. But just to have all things brought to light, what a shameful thing. Thank the Lord we'll be able to face them and know I am forgiven. God save my soul. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody might say, well, I don't believe that at that point, anything bad will come up about believers. I find it interesting that in the Word of God, the everlasting Word of God, we have the record of the sin of David. God knows it. God has recorded it. God knows all that you have done. God knows all that I have done. And I believe that all things shall come to light. I believe there's too many scriptures that speak about that for it not to be true. All things shall come to light. God sometimes reveals things, and sometimes God hides things. When God hides things, He hides things on purpose. Sometimes it might be that He just simply refuses to throw all of His pearls out there before the swine, swine-like men, so that swine-like men can trample them underfoot. God, thank the Lord, God gives out enough truth so that men can accept that truth and eventually be brought to Christ if they will. And yet, on the other hand, God does not tell the lost world everything. God doesn't even tell the saved everything. There are limitations as to what God reveals to men. God does hide some things, and He does it on purpose. The Bible talks about King Hezekiah. There came a time when there were those that came from Babylon to inquire about his kingdom, about the wonder of his kingdom. And Hezekiah, and I think he might have gotten into a braggadocious mode and started showing the treasures in his kingdom. He got in trouble because of that. He had not hidden any of his treasures. He had showed all of his treasures. And the Bible says, there's a great text there in the Scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31. God left him to try him. The Bible says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, those are interesting words. God left him to try him. Sometimes God may be silent. If God is silent, He's silent on purpose. He's got a reason for it. And in that case, God left him to try him. And sometimes it might be that it seems like the heaven is silent. You're praying, God is silent. But follow the light that you have. Follow the light that you received. Don't ever doubt the light that you received before the time of darkness and silence came. Follow what God has said. Sometimes God may be silent to a man. Sometimes God may not tell him some things, because God is in the work of trying the man, testing the man. Perhaps God has instructed him so thoroughly up to that point that now he has an opportunity to be obedient to God by following the truth that he's already received. God stopped speaking to Saul. What did Saul do? Saul went to the witch of Endor. Saul wanted Samuel brought up. And I believe God literally allowed Samuel to be brought up. In fact, I think it probably scared the woman, the witch. She may have many a time gone through this kind of thing and acted like she was bringing somebody up from the dead when it's all a put on, all a show, a sleight of hand or deceit. But in this case, I believe God actually allowed Samuel to come up, and Samuel rebuked him. Sometimes when God is silent, and you know what you ought to do, in the case of Saul, he needed to be obedient. The lesson ought to have been taught him that obedience is better than sacrifice, and he should have been obedient to God. He should have surrendered to God, but instead he turned to the witch of Endor. God sometimes hides things, but He hides things on purpose. But then also, God makes things discoverable through a proper search. There are so many things that we could know if we would approach God and search for them in the way that we should. Now, just because a person asks something, just because a person makes a prayer where he requests some information from God, does not necessarily mean God will show it to him. God may say, no, I'm going to hide it. But there are so many things that we could know. There are so many things that we can know about the Word of God. I believe that we don't know, But we could know if we would approach the Word of God as we should and let God be teaching our hearts. God has made so many things so that we can discover them if we'll go to Him as we should. As far as the Word of God is concerned, consider the words of searching the Scriptures. Now, I know we might think about somebody searching the Scriptures that's lost in that particular context, but searching the Scriptures. We are to be searching the Scriptures. And God will show us so much if we'll search the Scriptures thoroughly. I want to go to Mark chapter number 7. There's a wonderful account in Mark 7. The Bible there tells about the Syrophoenician woman. The Syrophoenician woman had a daughter that had a devil. The Bible says that Jesus entered into a house. The Bible says he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. You read the account. Of course, there's the book of Matthew that gives an account of this. And you may read about the things that she went through, how the disciples, they spoke against her, and the way Jesus Christ spoke to her. And yet, it seems she had a real humility about her and a persistence about her. And the Lord healed her daughter. Sometimes if we would have that same attitude, humbly going to God, persistently going to God, we may find that we would hear from Him. Sometimes we may find that a portion of Scripture would open up for us that in the past has been closed to us. There are so many things I believe that we could learn from the Word of God if we approached the Word of God with the right heart attitude. Sometimes people may say things about the Word of God. I talked to a man years ago. I gave him a Gospel of John and Romans, and I asked him, had he read it? And he talked as though I couldn't make heads or tails of it. Even believers sometimes, they may be so ignorant of so much of the Word of God. And I'm so lacking in knowledge of so much of the Word of God. But I believe if we'll follow the instructions that God has laid out, we can learn so much more. I believe that by the grace of God, I can continue to learn on this side. And I believe on the other side, God will teach me much more. I've talked about the kingdom. Imagine being in the kingdom. The millennial kingdom. And Jesus Christ Himself teaching. Jesus Christ Himself teaching about the offerings, for instance, and what the offerings were meant. I believe there are going to be so many things to learn even after this life. But so often I believe we do not approach God in the way we should, and we do not approach the Word of God as we should. And therefore, He does not reveal things to us that we could know. There's a story I came across years ago, and some of you may have seen it. But it's a story along this line. There was a fellow that couldn't read. And in his lifetime, he was embarrassed over the fact he couldn't read. Had a job doing construction work. Lost the job. And ended up looking for a job, and of course he couldn't read, he couldn't sign his name, didn't know how to sign his name, and it seemed as though he might have been a good worker, but still he was having a hard time not being able to read. One of the embarrassing things, one of the things that was told about him that was an embarrassment to him, was he talked to his son, and he thought after supper, after the meal, we're going to have some pears, some preserved pear preserves. Well, what he didn't realize was it was potatoes. He couldn't read the can and didn't know it was potatoes instead of pear preserves. Well, the story went on, and the man apparently had a heart attack and died. And he was found. He's in the garden. There was a bottle of pills that were supposed to help him when he had a heart attack. And there was a brick upon the bottle, and the son came along looking in the garden, and he turned the brick over, and there was this bottle of pills. And on the lid it said, "Press and turn to open." Well, apparently they just changed to the child-proof bottle, and he couldn't read the simple instructions. So many times, a portion of Scripture, a truth, may be hidden from us. And if we would follow the simple instructions that God has given us, we could open it up. And yet I believe oftentimes our heart attitude is not right, our approach to the Lord is not right, and therefore it stays hidden to us. I believe there's so much that God could and would reveal to us if we would approach Him and His Word as we should. If you will, please stand. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I pray that You'll help us from it. And Lord, in our hearts, You know what we need from the Word of God. Lord, if there's been something in our hearts that's been keeping us from learning what we need to learn, gathering what we need to gather, retaining what we need to retain, then I pray that You'll help us. God, You know better than we do how much we need instruction by You. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll be working with us mightily to show us truth in the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you will, please take a hymn book.